Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. The Rapid City Police Department, working in conjunction with Rapid City Collective Impact, has been awarded a $750,000 grant from the International Association of Chiefs of Police. The funds are slated for the development of a Rapid City Police Department Quality of Life Unit. Yesterday, we welcomed Assistant Chief of Police Don Hedrick to SDPB's Black Hills Bureau for the story. Chief Hedrick, welcome back to In the Moment.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with what a quality of life unit is.
Well, we still have a lot of work to do on this, but we sort of vision this unit to be a way for our officers to collaborate hand in hand with social workers. And we're talking about creating a team of police officers and social workers out in the community and out on the streets where the folks that are out there that need help. So not so much behind a desk and asking people to come in. We see this as a proactive approach where we're out on the street looking for folks that need help and then trying to get them the resources they need.
Tell me where this fits into the broader conversation of things, that the recent grants you've been having coming in with efforts for the Transformation Center in Rapid City. What part of the Restoration Center campus, I should say, what part of this big picture does this fill?
That is a great question. And as you're aware, we do have a lot of big things coming to Rapid City within the next year or two. We believe this unit, this proactive group, is going to complement not only the Restoration Center, but the potential Transformation Center, both facilities that are coming to our community. And our mission shares their mission in that we're trying to get people plugged into resources, get them help they need before there's some sort of crisis, before there's a need for a criminal arrest. If somebody is having issues with alcohol or, some sort of mental health issue, our goal is to reach them, get them the help they need, and get them diverted away from our criminal justice system and into the hands of social workers and the resources that do already exist here in our community.
So let me digress for a minute away from the grant itself and talk a little bit about how officers on the street are handling these kind of conversations, because on one hand, it's not what they're really trained to do. On the other hand, it's what they're doing every day, right?
Correct. Law enforcement has shifted away from the simple, make an arrest and move on. We're looking to tackle the root of the problem, to get to the issue so that we can break the cycle. So if somebody's having an issue with alcohol and they're creating very low-level crimes, we're going to try and address that alcohol issue so that we can keep them out of the criminal justice system, get them the resources they need, and hopefully get them back on their feet to be productive members of society. And you're right, that is a shift, but it's what we've been doing. Our traditional model of lock them up and throw away the key does not work with social issues.
So how do the social workers fit in? Do you see it as a one-on-one partnership? Is it a unit that works together and, meets every day? Is it separate or integrated in the Rapid City Police Department?
We see the vision for this unit to be housed potentially in the Restoration Center itself. And a couple officers on the team, but also three or four social workers all together, so that daily you can have folks out on the street working together, people from this unit working together, getting to know the people that are out there, getting to know the needs, getting to know the resources. And then these social workers that have the skills and resources, just that awareness that police officers don't typically have of the social worker system. And mm-hmm. We feel like it's a partnership. We're really excited for this because we believe it's going to do great things for our community and the people that we serve.
Talk a little bit about providing safety and a secure work environment for the social workers who, might be in situations that they're not quite used to.
Yeah, it is definitely different from some of the social workers that we've spoke with. They're traditionally not out on the street or not out in the elements or the environment that police officers are more accustomed to. But we believe that is what's going to be the key is finding the people out where they are. And, maybe not everyone wants to come to play along, but we feel like there's going to be a great number that will. And, you know, honestly, it's part of our mission here at the department, you know, treating those less fortunate with compassion and getting the folks the help that they need equates to greater public safety for everyone in our community. And our officers share that belief, as well as, you know, some of the social workers that we've met with and some of our partners on this grant. You know, you talk about collective impact, behavior management systems, Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies, Working Against Violence, the Hope Center, Rapid City Community Advisory Committee, Pennington County Health and Human Services, all of those groups share that goal, getting people the help they need.
When you talk about in the partners in the grant application process, just those conversations as you figure out how to put together a grant and what will happen if you're awarded the grant, those are incredibly useful as well. Were you part of some of those conversations? Can you give us an idea of, you know, the anticipation or the dedication of that group, the excitement they had in those conversations?
You bet. And actually, this grant, the International Association of Chiefs of Police, they required us to have these meetings on the front end and to have these discussions about, you know, can this vision come to life and is it an actual reality? And, you know, as you mentioned, there was a lot of excitement with these community partners as well as people from our department. It's something new. It's not your traditional policing model, but that's the world we live in, and we're looking to try and make big change to Rapid City. And sometimes you have to make bold moves to make that happen.
$750,000 is a lot of money to put on a program. And it's a difficult thing, perhaps, to measure the success of. What different ways do you anticipate measuring the success of the quality of life unit?
Well, first I'll start off by just talking a little bit about the funding. And as I say, we do have a lot more work to do. We have to work with the folks from the IACP that are giving us the grant and make sure it's cleared through them. But, you know, there is a significant amount of training that our staff is going to have to go through, as well as the hiring of several social workers to get on board, as well as some of the housing and the internal cost. We believe this is going to help us to get things started and get it off the ground. What was the second part?
Measuring the success. What is that a difficult thing to do? Are there benchmarks that you have to hit?
It can be, but I think we're going to be able to piece together some victories and keep track of some individual cases where we're going to be able to show that if you can even just reach a handful of people, it's going to make a huge impact on the community. When you talk about traditional policing and, you know, let's say we lock somebody up for a very minor crime, maybe they're out consuming alcohol in public and it's something this person does daily. You talk about taking the time of a police officer to bring that person to jail. You talk about the jailer's time. You talk about the booking clerk's time. And then you talk about the criminal justice system where you have judges and lawyers and attorneys that their time is also involved. So if we're able to get even just a handful of people the help they need, it has the potential to make big changes for our community.
When do you anticipate the unit being up and running? When can people in Rapid City sort of see, you know, folks on the street, as it were?
We have a goal of having the unit up and functioning this summer.
And then how does that, you know, correlate with the other services and where they're at in, as far as, you know, do you have the resources? You know, you have an encounter with someone who needs a certain kind of treatment. Do the resources exist so that officers and social workers will be able to actually take action and bring that person to the right place or provide the services that they need?
We do. We do have existing resources, and it's especially with some of the partners that I had mentioned, where we're going to be able to work together with that group. But also, we're very excited for the potential for the Restoration Center. It's an expansion of already existing services. So, for example, we have a very small number of safe beds here in Rapid City. When the Restoration Center is up and running this year, we're going to have more safe beds, more places for people to be. Our detox is going to expand. Along with it, the folks that need to get to the crisis care center, it'll all be under one roof. So we kind of see this as a way to get the ball rolling and to, you know, lead the charge for both of those entities, the Restoration Center and the Transformation Center. We think that this is going to help create a smooth transition as these entities become up and running.
What kind of training will staff have to go through? Is that training they'll receive in Rapid City, or will they go somewhere else for that?
Well, that is one of the things that we're working on currently, and we've had discussion with Pennington County Health and Human Services, who they're already doing some of this, and we're going to lean on experts in the field. You know, so we're police officers, okay? So we can tell you certain laws, we can tell you, you know, things very specific to the law enforcement function, but that's where we need help from our partners, and we need help from our community, where we're looking, you know, what sort of training do these social workers need, and how can we get them there? And we believe a lot of this will be able to be incorporated right within the city, but if there's something great that's out there that we need to be a part of, we're going to take a look at it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Assistant Chief of Police for Rapid City, Don Hedrick, and we're talking about this $750,000 grant from the International Association of Chiefs of Police, working on a quality of life unit development in Rapid City, expected to be operational this summer of 2018. And I'm wondering, Chief Hedrick, if there are models, you know, as we look at this International Association of Chiefs of Police, are there other communities across the country who are doing similar things, who have similar units?
Well, I think it is honestly relatively new to law enforcement in general. And just one thing I want to mention is that we weren't the only recipients of this grant. A couple other very large agencies, to include the Houston Police Department, the Oakland Police Department, Minneapolis Police Department, Baton Rouge Police Department, they're all sites that the IACP decided to award with a grant. I think from our standpoint, we are the most specific in what we plan on doing with the grant in regards to creating this unit. But I also think it's important to mention that this funding, it's able to make a big splash here in Rapid City, whereas in some of the bigger cities, you probably don't get as much of a impact or bang for the buck, so to speak. You know, $750,000 is big money for us, and it's going to really allow us to dig into the program and get this thing up and running. We're really excited about it.
When I looked up the program itself, it talked a lot about, you know, healing a community from, you know, community harm and trauma and sort of healing some of the relationships. Do you feel that that needs to happen in Rapid City? Do you feel like the community's relationship with law enforcement is in need of healing?
You know, I think it's something we can continue to work on. You know, historically, there is a lot of distrust with some of the things that happened out here. And I think it spills over onto law enforcement at times because we're a branch of the government. And I think we've been very progressive in outreach to include social media. You know, we've found being open and transparent as possible, it heightens that trust. It heightens the community feeling of being involved. And, you know, so I see it as something that we have been working on, but something we can continue to work on. And that's why we have a partner with the Center for American Indian Research and Native Studies. They actually provided some cultural awareness training for us in 2016, and part of that messaging was that historical trauma that exists. So we're pleased to have them as a partner because we feel like that oversight and that information is going to help us even further.
And I know this is probably a question that maybe you haven't thought of or really can't provide an answer to, but I'm wondering if you've put any thought into law enforcement training in peer, and if that maybe needs to change in the future to incorporate some of, you know, the things that you might learn over the next few years in Rapid City. Do you think it's potential to have a statewide impact, you know, through that down the road?
Yeah, no, I think that is a good question. And I believe if we're able to make some headway and you know, work on this project and it's as successful as we believe it's going to be, law enforcement in general is going to pay attention, as well as, you know, peer in the state. They've been very open to new ideas here. You know, something like we were one of the first agencies to bring on crisis intervention training in the state. us in the sheriff's office, we brought it on together years ago, and we started to have success with that, and the state saw that, and since then they've implemented training into their peer academy. So yeah, I believe that this is going to have ramifications bigger than just us.
How do you keep it going? And, you know, with the funding, how does the funding continue in the future so that if it becomes a solution that is impactful in your community, that it stays long term?
That's one of the things we're going to have to continue to work on as we implement the program and as it gets up and running. And, you know, we have had some discussions with the IACP about the potential for extending the grant. You know, we've been told that could be an option that's on the table if we have success here. But, you know, there might also be other private or public funding that we could take a look at. We feel pretty good about the potential for this. And if we're able to track those case studies that I had mentioned, track those victories, we feel like it's something we're going to be able to hold up and show success.
In order to help people, they have to trust that you want to help them. Is that part of the training? Is that part of the process of rolling this out, trying to rebuild that trust on an individual basis when you encounter someone? You mentioned, you know, not everybody wants to see the police show up if you have a certain history with the police. How do you overcome that?
Well, that's something we face every single day. And de-escalation is a part of what we do. But, you know, as well as I do that you can influence a conversation really quickly by just little things, okay? The way you answer a question or the way you show up, you know, is the officer showing up and crossing their arms and using a really stern voice, or, you know, your approach can have a big impact. So, you know, taking time to build that rapport, you know, taking time to get to know the person, get to know their specific needs. And, you know, I think generally just showing that you care. We've had a lot of success with that from our officers that are out on the street. And you're not going to get very far if you don't build that rapport and take the time that's required to build the trust. So, you know, we encourage that daily. We do have training on that we go through. But, you know, honestly, if people can sense if you're coming into a situation wanting to help or not. So obviously we got to pick the right people to be a part of this team, but
right.
You know, I said it like three times, but we're excited.
Yeah. How does this stand to make the community of Rapid City safer and a better place to live?
Well, if we're getting people connected with the resources they need on the front, you know, we're out there, we're finding people that need help, getting them connected with that before there's some sort of need for a law enforcement arrest. You know, if somebody is using alcohol and using it in a way to self-medicate, you know, if we can get to that person early on before they get into a fight or before they're victimized in some way, it's going to equate to a crime that never occurred because we got them the help early, got them plugged into the system. So, you know, treating these people with respect, treating folks with compassion, it goes a long ways, and especially when you're doing whatever you can to get them help early on in the stages.
Chief Hedrick, what happens next? Are you hiring for this unit? Are you doing internal hiring? What's the next step here?
Well, there are a couple of steps we have to go through with the International Chiefs of Police. One to include, they have some assessments that they need to do, and we've already complied in a couple of community type assessments, so we're getting them the information that they're needing before we can move forward. But internally, we've already started to identify officers that might be interested in being a part of the team, and we're taking a look at that as we speak.
Hmm. How big will the unit be altogether, do you anticipate?
We're estimating potentially two officers to be involved, and then a management level type of supervisor.
Right.
And we're carefully evaluating whether we need three or four social workers to be a part of the team.
Don Hedrick is Assistant Chief of Police for Rapid City Police Department. Chief Hedrick, thank you so much for being here with us today. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you, Lori.